Christ, Aiken, South Carolina. We're the Loving Church with Jesus' Heart, and we're so glad to see everybody who's here. Please pray for those who aren't. Announcements today. No visitors. As part of physical contact, the ushers will be passing the plates to each individual, and we kind of end up doing that anyway, so that's not much different than what we've been doing. The deacons will be meeting after the service in the library. The Lenten book study will be held at 3:30 in the fellowship hall today. DBWF trash and treasure sale is next Saturday. Axe donation for March is pasta sauce. And please notice in your bulletin a list of additional activities this week. Are there any other announcements? Yes, sir.
I guess everybody, or maybe you want to come out, we're having church. Or we're having church because we're continuing normal. So it really gets out of hand, which it isn't. You know, if you go look at the swine flu thing, they didn't call it a pandemic for several months. They want to do something right away so that you don't look really bad, we've done something about it. If you have a respiratory problem, you probably shouldn't go out. Just break off. Looking at all the statistics and everything, the epicenter for all this used to be Kirkland, Washington, the nursing home assisted living clinic for 50 people.
Anything else? Please stand if you're able for the call to worship. Is that you or me?
Probably me.
Okay. In this season of Lent, a time of preparation,
God calls us to gather to worship, to pray, to sing, to listen for God's voice.
As we walk with Jesus on the road to Jerusalem,
we see looming before us a cross, a shadow on the horizon.
We gather as fellow travelers to the city, the cross, and what lies beyond. God has called us together, and so we worship. We pray, we sing, we listen. Please remain standing for the opening hymn, Lord, who throughout these 40 days, that's number 180 in your hymnal.
Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Will you join me in prayer? Dear God, it is an honor to be here this morning and worship you among friends. We pray for this congregation as we worship. We pray for all the congregations that are gathering, and we pray for the ones who are not gathering. We also pray for our own members who have chosen to stay home, and we ask your blessing to be on them as well on us. And be with us as we do worship you today through our songs, our words, and our interactions. And hear us now as we pray as you have taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We will continue our worship through the singing of our praise hymn, number 5, O for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, and we will remain seated as we sing. Thank you. We come now to our prayer time for our joys as well as our concerns. I know we have a lot of concerns. I'm going to start with the joys first on our thanks. Paul Wilson, who has chosen to stay home at his doctor's suggestion for planning the events, even though we had to cancel the one on Friday, he has done an excellent job planning, and we will be planning more in the future. And also for Natalie, for all the beautiful music. So we thank you. We would have waited on you till whatever time it took. So, no, you're not. Any other joys? Ed and I found out yesterday that we're going to be grandparents again in August. So my daughter's doing what it says to populate the world, but they're excited. They have a new home, and so we're excited too. All right, on our concerns, I want to call attention to the back of the bulletin where we have our current and our continued prayers. Also, the ones that were mentioned on the card today is, of course, the pandemic situation. Barbara McKnight, Dawn Thiem, is that right? Whoever wrote that, Thiem?
Yes.
Okay. Paula Fatwistle, is that right? Entwistle. Oh, okay, that's an E. I didn't see the little line on the bottom. All right, my mistake. Michael Green and Dora Bush. Are there others? Lisa?
I'll ask for prayers for the CSRA with the master's getting postponed. It is going to be a very tough time for a lot of businesses.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any others? All right. Let us pray together. God, you have heard us as we have listed our concerns and our joys. We pray for Dora Bush, for Michael Green, for Paula Entwistle, for Dawn Thim, for Barbara McKnight. We also pray for Chuck and Ida, for Ernestine, for Demoris, for Connie, for Joanne and June, and all the ones who are not able to be with us today in person. We pray for this pandemic situation. It's hard to pray in words for a situation that is just beyond understanding, but we know that you are aware of our inability to express ourselves. We also know that you are aware of this situation, not just from our perspective, but from yours. And we pray for your healing hand in this. We pray for wisdom, for times, how do we know when to stay away and when to continue our normal routines. We pray for patience. We pray for understanding and acceptance of people who view things differently than we do. Dear God, we also pray not only for the physical virus, but for the financial ramifications that we can only begin to imagine. The canceling of the Masters, canceling of the March Madness in the cities that had been planning for a year to have that kind of financial boost to their own economy. We pray for Aiken and for Augusta and for all the cities affected by the decision about the Masters. Pray for the small businesses that have no one looking after them to bail them out. We pray for people who are living day to day or month to month and can't go to the store and stock up. We pray for people who are so busy living life and making it that they can't comprehend the changes that are going on around them. We pray for us as a church, that we will know how to care for each other whether we meet or whether we don't, that we will know how to be good neighbors in our own neighborhoods, and that we will look out not just for ourselves, but look out for the other who is less fortunate or who is dealing with something that is just taking their time and their energy. We pray for our own health. We pray that you keep us healthy as a congregation. We pray that you will help us be your church, not just one to each other, but one to our community. We ask you to forgive us where we fail you and where we fail each other and where we fail ourselves. We ask you to continue to help us as we walk this Lenten journey, that we not let what's going on in the world prevent us from feeling you, but instead help it open us even more to your glory and your leadership. Now hear us as we pray. I'm on a Facebook page with disciple clergy around the country, and there are so many disciples churches that want to be doing exactly what we're doing this morning, worshiping together, that are unable to do so for either rules or caution. And one of the things that I thought about as we thought about Do we come or do we not? And as disciples of Christ, the one thing that we always do when we gather on a Sunday is have communion. And so to be here and have communion allows us to have that moment of normalcy and allows us to center ourselves around this table to feel Christ and to be nourished by him. We are aware of what's going on in the world, and so we have taken extra precautions to make communion as safe as it possibly can be and to keep the amount of hands on things. You will notice when you get your bread today, it is in an individual cup. So rather than try to reach in and take the piece of bread, just take the cup. And that way you're touching the cup and you're the only one that's touching your bread other than the ones who put it in and they wore gloves. So the bread that you are receiving today is as safe as it can possibly be. And then the cup will be the same way. And just we ask that people take care to just touch the one that they are getting. But let us come now and do what is most comfortable and most familiar as disciples. Let us have communion together. Stand if you are able in the singing of our communion hymn 387, Bread of the World in Mercy Broken. Seated. We're told that the Lord Jesus, on the night before he was betrayed, he was eating with his disciples, and he had a loaf of bread, and he took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that will be broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Hear now the prayer for our bread.
For the bread. Dear God, we remember today our Creator and Provider, that we are always tempted to depend too much on ourselves and not enough on you. When we bake bread, when we earn our daily bread, we are tempted to forget that it is you who gives us bread. Teach us to remember and to stay faithful, as did your Son, Jesus Christ, when he was tempted in the wilderness. As we take this bread of communion, let us realize that we receive it from you. As we break this bread of communion, let our spirits be broken and humble, offered up to you. As we eat this bread of communion, let us be nourished and enriched by your everlasting love. We pray in the name of the one who was tempted, yet stayed true, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Body of Christ broken for you. Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup and he gave thanks to it and he shared it with them and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood that will be poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Hear now the prayer for the cup.
Let's pray for the cup. O gracious, come as one people to drink this cup. We come grateful for what this cup represents, the life of our Savior Jesus Christ, which was given that we may have the joy of life abundant. Help us to learn at this table to be truly one in love, forgiving one another as you have forgiven us. Help us to dwell in your word always and to live out your peace in our words, our witness, and our work. Amen.
Blood of Christ shed for you. Now, as we continue to worship in ways that are familiar to us, we worship God through our giving. God, we offer these gifts to you. We ask your blessing on them and on us as we use them to take care of your people here at this church and in this community. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Please stand if you're able and join in the singing of the doxology. You may be seated.
Thank you.
The scriptures today are going to come from two books. We're going to be reading out of Exodus 17, 1 through 7. In your pew Bibles, that'll be page 75. Then we'll be reading from John 4, 5 through 16. In your pew Bibles, that'll be page 1083. I myself am going to be reading from my home Bible, the New King James Version. And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water, what that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people? They are almost ready to stone me." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee the elders of Israel, and thy rod wherein thou smotest the river. Take it in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Moving on to John 4, 5 through 16. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, "How is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to you, 'Give me to drink,' thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank therefore himself, and his children, and his cattle?" Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman saith unto him, "Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, "Go call thy husband, and come hither." Bless the reading and the listening.
you, Lisa. All that yellow stuff that's been flying around has lodged itself right here. So we're going to try to make it through this. When we began our Lent journey 3 weeks ago, we talked about how Lent teaches us to give up things that usually bring joy or pleasure, so that we can learn what it means firsthand, or relearn what it means firsthand, about sacrificial living. Used to, people would give up things like Krispy Kreme donuts because they'd give up sweets, or they'd give up Coke, or they would give up certain television show or going out to eat. And then a few years ago, when Facebook got so big and took so much of our time, it was pretty common for people to give up Facebook as a way of sacrificial living. By never in anyone's wildest imaginations, 3 weeks ago, or even last week, would we expect to be living the lessons that we're living this week of what it means to give up March Madness, for which I had tickets already to round one and round two, or the Masters, or even on a smaller scale, our bingo for Friday night, public gatherings, life as we know it, and worship. In other words, the way we had lived our lives changed this week, not by the day, but by the hour. If you're like me, you're watching television, and one day you can do this, but you can't do that. An hour later, they say, no, you can't do that either. First basketball, they were going to let the girls play, and nobody would watch them. And then they couldn't play at all. And then they were going to let the Masters play, and nobody could watch them, and then they couldn't play. But every one of us here knows that we are walking this journey together into the unknown. We aren't holding hands anymore. And even that, not shaking, not hugging, even that is new to us. It makes us live life differently than we lived it last week or the week before. But we are holding hearts, and we are in this together even as we learn how to do this new technique that they're telling us to do called social distancing. And lo and behold, the lectionary readings, which were assigned years ago and which I picked and handed to Francis about 6 weeks ago, the word COVID-19 wasn't in anybody's dictionary or even imagination. And yet it's so powerful to me that these two readings have so much to say to us today in this situation. The Old Testament reading takes place when the Israelites are wandering in the wilderness. They had left the bondage that they had had and sometimes even enjoyed in Egypt because it had become normal life. But they are now on their way to the promised land. And as you know from all the different stories, they were in between. They have these 40 years of wandering in the desert and all the trials and tribulations that come their way. And today in the story that Lisa read, they aren't happy. They're thirsty. Now, there's a common theme if you read the whole wilderness episodes all at one time. There's a common theme in them where they want something that they don't have, and they grumble about it, and they get mad about it, and then they start complaining, why did we even come on this trip? And then they go to Moses, and they complain some more to Moses, and Moses gets mad at them. And then eventually, Moses goes to God, and says, what am I going to do with these people? And God always gives Moses an answer. Always. Today, Moses got to get water. Because what these people wanted wasn't something exorbitant. They wanted water. That's so basic and simple. I don't know why it took Moses so long to go to God, but it took him a while. But then when he went to God, God helped him. So here we are, March 15th, 2020, in Aiken, South Carolina, and the world is in a shared wilderness called the pandemic. Most of us don't even know what we want because this went almost overnight from being about people way over there, and then maybe a little bit over there, and then a little bit over there. It went from being about them to being about us. And it started affecting our life and our daily living. Well, don't take this wrong, but Achan seems to be in a little bit of a bubble because it doesn't seem like it's come to Achan yet. Ed and I, you know, live in Columbia, and downtown Columbia every Saturday has this big event called the Soda City Market. Well, the Soda City Market got canceled this week, and so downtown Columbia was dead. A lot of churches and events, and the poor students at USC Columbia are being kicked out of their dorms by tomorrow, which they had just been told the other day that they could stay in their dorms. The rules change by the hour. But yesterday I came to the men's breakfast, and after the breakfast, Ed and I went downtown Aiken to see how dead it was, and it wasn't dead at all. People were out shopping, people were out walking, people were out being normal. And it gave us an even more sense of this surrealness. It's like, are they making this up in Columbia or in New Jersey? Or is it going to come to Aiken? But we are in the wilderness. And I think once we get through buying all the toilet paper we could ever use for the rest of our lives, we will get to the point where we can sit down and say, what do we need? What is as basic as water that we used to have that we don't have? And then we're going to start grumbling. And then we're going to get angry at our leaders for not doing something right or not giving us what we need or not telling us soon enough. And then we're just going to pout about it. Now, you know, it's easy for us when we read this story about the Israelites to point our fingers at them and say, oh, those terrible, ungrateful people. But they're human beings. And we're human beings, and we have the same DNA, and we handle things the same way. So even though we don't have an emergency plan in place for COVID-19, we have this story and the New Testament story to guide us. First of all, we need to learn from the Old Testament story that we don't wait till the end to go to God. We go to God first. I don't know what took Moses so long. I guess he was, you know, God had equipped him to be the leader, and maybe he was thinking, I can't go ask for help. It will look bad. It will look like they don't think I know what I'm doing, or God will think God chose the wrong person. But Moses finally goes to God, and God helps him out. Now, I find it very comforting and also very enlightening that God worked through Moses through the familiar. God didn't tell Moses, do something you've never done before. God said, go get your staff. That staff you've already used with success when you needed it, go get that. And go ahead of the people and go and do what I tell you to do. So Moses got his staff. He followed God's commandment. And he went and broke a rock or struck a rock. In other words, God reminded Moses, you have what you need to get through this. What worked in the past spiritually will also work for us spiritually in this endeavor. We may be in uncharted waters, so to speak, but church, we have the resource that we have always had. We have our own staff that God has given us, which means the power of God made real for us. Now, none of us carry staffs that I know, but each of us have a Bible. You know, they might close our schools. They might close the campus. They might close the stores. They might even close the churches. But they cannot close our Bibles. Our Bibles belong to us, and we can go to them anytime and every time, and God will deliver. Now, I am sure that Moses did not expect water to come out of a rock. I just can't imagine that he would think, oh, okay, that'll work. But God showed Moses something that was right in front of him that had different potential than Moses had ever thought of before. And that is what God will do with us. But Moses, this was not magic. Moses had to follow. Moses had to obey. And Moses had to take a chance. What if he'd have struck that rock and nothing happened? Don't you think that went through his head? I do. Because I think Moses was also human. In other words, Moses had to participate with God. God is not going to do these things as magic for us. God is equipping each of us to do something with God so that we can become part of the answer. As Christians, we are called to participate. We are not to be passive observers in this thing called life. Now, when I originally, long time ago, seems like now, intended to weave this Old Testament and New Testament story together, I had a way different plan of doing that. And it made a lot of sense back then, and it made no sense to me after this. The Old Testament lesson seemed so powerful to me that I almost told Lisa, just skip the New Testament. We're going to stay in the Old Testament. But as I prayed about it, God said, no. Oh, stick with what you had planned. The New Testament deserves its, that story about the woman at the well is so familiar, and it deserves its own sermon. But today it is a helper. It is letting us remember that things happen in unexpected places and unexpected times and with unexpected people. If Jesus had been a rule follower, which we have well learned that he is not, but if Jesus had been a rule follower, he would not have even spoken to this woman. She was Samaritan and he was Jew. And you talk about social distancing? No, that was exclusion. But it would have been the end of the story. But instead, Jesus, following God's rules, not the rules of the people, spoke to this woman. And if you read the story all the way to the end, which I encourage you to do, you realize they had a very fascinating encounter, and one that by the time the story was over changed her life completely and made her a missionary, because she went and told other people and it changed their lives. In verse 10, Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Now, Moses was able to provide the physical water. The people in the wilderness did not die of physical thirst, nor did their livestock, or nor did their children, as was their fear. That physical need was what Moses was able to do. Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God." He's no longer talking about physical water. He's not diminishing it. He knows it's important. He's sitting by a well. His disciples have gone to get food. He knows what it means to have physical needs. But instead, Jesus has elevated it, and he's talking about spiritual needs and spiritual water. So let's not get so caught up in the crisis. Sometimes you just have to turn your TVs off because they will drive you nuts. We need to be aware and we need to be alert, but we don't need to be overwhelmed. Let's stay in tune to our physical needs. We have people not here today because they are listening to their own physical needs, and for that, I celebrate with them. But our physical needs don't change, even if schools close and the stores, at least the stores in Columbia, I haven't been to the ones in Aiken, they have more empty shelves than they have filled ones. And it's easy to panic and think, "I've got to have this," instead of thinking, "What do I need?" As a church, we need to pay attention not only to what we need, but what our church members need. Who needs physical water? Who needs meals? Who needs toilet paper? Sharing toilet paper might become the new giving a cup of cold water in Christ's name. And I'm not saying that as a joke. I'm saying that as when we come together and help each other out, We have to assess what I have that you need or what you have that I need. And it might be we have to crack some rocks open to get it, but we have to do it in familiar ways with our staff, meaning our Word of God. We also may be blessed by strange encounters with people that we have ruled, I don't associate with them, but they're at the same well, and we start talking. And all of a sudden, we've blessed them and they've blessed us, because God puts strangers in our lives all the time as angels unaware. We also need to remember that unlike this woman at the well, we do know Jesus. We do know the gift of God. And we do know the spiritual waters that he offers us. Don't get so caught up in the physical panic that you neglect your spiritual life. That's the one thing you can do when you're home on quarantine, is study God's Word. And as we walk through this health crisis as a congregation, let's remember our motto that we say every week. We are the little church with Jesus at heart. That includes the church that offers this living water, because we know where it comes from, and we know how to share it. And now is the time to share this living water with the people in your lives that you may have never talked to about God, about Jesus Christ, or about this church. Let us pray. Dear God, we give you thanks for water, both physical water that quenches our thirst, and yet we become thirsty again. And we also give you thanks for spiritual water that we are taught quenches our thirst and we do not thirst again. I pray for us this week as a congregation and as a city and as a country that we do not confuse the two and that we continue to nurture ourselves and each other with both. Amen. Our invitation today is hymn number 565. If you will trust in God to guide you. We will stand and sing it together, and then 565. If you will trust in God to guide you. We couldn't have picked a more fitting song, even though you picked that, what, 6 weeks ago. So that was powerful. One of the phrases that I've heard all week, too, I'm tired of hearing about it, is things done in an abundance of caution. So I'm getting ready to do something with no caution whatsoever. We have a deacon and elders meeting that is following this church meeting. And what I've changed the plans for it. And what we're planning to do is to come together as a church and have a plan for how we're going to take care of each other, not only if we don't have church, but if we do, but how are we going to take care of the ones who cannot come? Or people like Sally, who can no longer have the visitors that she depends on, and probably Joanne. I think it takes all of us working together to be church. So I would like to invite any of you that want to stay. Don't feel like you have to say, oh, I'm not a deacon or I'm not an elder. You are here, and you're here today for a reason. So I hope that you will stay and help us define a plan of how to be a better church during this time. Our benediction. To God, help us as we walk through this journey. Help us to be the church to each other and to you that you have called and equipped us to be. Help us to remember your gift. Amen. Our going forth song, although I don't want anybody to go forth, is Let Us Now Depart in Peace, 444.